This is Connect a Nation, a podcast focused on all things broadband, from closing the digital divide to improving your internet speeds. We talk technology topics that impact all of us, our families, and our communities. On today's podcast, we talk with the Ohio Lieutenant Governor John Husted, who is also the founder and director of Innovate Ohio, which examines state services through the eyes of residents and businesses. We'll discuss how the program focuses on innovating state government through technology, the positive impact that approach has had, and what other leaders across the country can learn from the work being done in the Buckeye State. I'm Jessica Denson, and this is Connected Nation. I'm Jessica Denson, and today the 66th Lieutenant Governor of the state of Ohio, John Husted, joins us. In his role as Lieutenant Governor, he, among many other things, oversees the Ohio Common Sense Initiative and serves as the director of both the Governor's Office of Workforce Transformation and Innovate Ohio. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
We are excited to talk with you. You have a lot of background in the technology space. So let's get started. Each of the organizations that I mentioned have some crossover. They all have some part of revving up the economic engine, if you will, for Ohio, whether it's removing regulatory obstacles or improving technology for business. Share a little bit about your focus within those groups. What do you feel is important?
Well, you know, with the Common Sense Initiative, really what that's designed to do is to make sure that the regulations that come out of legislation that's passed are not unfriendly to business. So we get a chance to review them through that process. But, and we get, I think we've changed something like 45% of all the regulations that come our way from their original form. So it's having an impact about making them just easier to comply with. And making, you know, making, quote, common sense out of them as they go out and businesses have to, adopt their practices around those regulations. But I wanted to play offense with it. And so we actually have an AI tool, a machine learning tool that we're using to go through all of the revised code and the administrative code, really to streamline it, to find duplicative things, things that are outdated, and then go to the legislature and recommend wholesale changes in those areas. You know, some of the things that we're looking at are, you know, COVID helped us with this. Anything that has to be done in person, why? And we went through all of it to find out, you know, find everything that had to be done in person. And we're going to go about the process of changing that if we can. Also, anything that requires a paper form or a phone call or anything of that, like we're trying to get at all of those things that are in every agency, every board, every commission, all of those things, and really try to modernize it and use technology to improve the way we serve our customers there. And so that's just one thing that we're doing at CSI that I think is helpful. The goal of Innovate Ohio is to use technology to improve the way we serve our customers and to make Ohio the most innovative entrepreneurial state in the Midwest. And we also know in the space that I work in workforce development, you can't do any of this without great tech talent. So we're helping along all of those lines using technology to do things differently inside state government to better serve our customers and to create the talent we need to be successful.
I really like that you said you went on the offense because that really speaks to being proactive about dealing with this issue. Also, you mentioned COVID-19, and I think there's a real awareness now that wasn't maybe there a year ago of the need for having things online and having access to online products. The Innovate Ohio, you touched on it briefly, is really focused on that intersection of technology. Talk a little bit about where this idea came up from, because it really was before everybody else had quite a larger understanding of this importance of technology in this space.
Yeah. Well, I have to go back to my previous job because I was Secretary of State of Ohio, and that oversees elections and new business filings. And when I got there, it struck me that to form a business, you literally had to fill out a form and mail it in and send a check. And we looked at that and it was an enormous amount of time and delay, not only in responding to the business owner, but also in, you know, look, every time this comes in, you had to open an envelope, process a check, process the form. If there was something wrong with the form, you had to send it back. You had to key it all in. And it was pretty simple. I was like, well, we should just move this all online. It would be so much easier. And you would have been crushed to hear all of the feedback that I got about how we couldn't do that, how there were too many different forms. I mean, you know, everything was so unique, you can't do it like that. I said, well, let's start with the big things and work back. And we had a lot of skeptics about whether it was going to fully work. But in the end, we did it. And we took what was a 4.5 day process on average and turned it to something that was less than 4 hours on average. We were so efficient that we ended up having, I think, 50% fewer employees by the time I was done with my 8 years in office through attrition and early retirements. We didn't just throw people out on the street. And we were so efficient, I no longer needed state tax dollars to run my office. We did it entirely through fees that we collected, and we cut those fees by 21%. And so it was that experience that exceeded my wildest expectations that I said, if we can do this in the Secretary of State's office, which is a small part of state government, just think of how we can use technology to change all of state government. And that was the genesis behind Innovate Ohio. And then we flipped it also to really think about how technology and innovation can be used to grow our economy. So that's those are sort of the dual missions of Innovate Ohio. And we're off and running, and we're really excited about the things that we're able to do.
Something struck me there, what you said about even just writing a check. Most of us there's a lot of us that don't even do that. So I can't imagine as a business owner trying to use such an antiquated process. So with Innovate Ohio, as it's moved forward, you were the first director and the official founder and started it officially in January 2019. What are some projects since then that you have grown brag on some of your best and brightest successes, or maybe some lessons learned since that time?
Yeah, well, one of the things we started with was, you know, A, let's pick the things that everybody hates, right? who likes to stand in line at the BMV, right? When you go to get your driver's license or your license plates or things like that. And so we picked that one first, and we created a system called Get in Line Online, where you go online, you pick the location you want to go, you reserve your space in line, it texts you your code for reserving your place. And then when you get there within the next 4 hours, you just text them and let them know that you're there and you're queued in and you're the next person in line when you walk in. And I like to do this when I'm with crowds. I'm like, who likes to stand in line at the BMV, right? Nobody likes that. And we use technology to streamline that process, make everybody's experience much better. And then, and many of the things that didn't need to be in person to begin with, we eliminated those so you could do them online. And it's this stuff like this is just, it's what people want. It's how they're used to receiving services from the private sector, but not from the government sector. And we're trying to change that.
That's really a lesson that I think a lot of state leaders across the country can take and use and implement in their own states, don't you think? Just the idea of using technology in better ways?
Yeah, absolutely. And understand, none of these were easy. Because look, every time you change something, you're affecting somebody's job, somebody's fee, somebody's profit, who are part of doing the things the way that they were done. And that's why you just have to stay focused on the customer, the external customer, and not your internal customers, because there are a lot of internal customers who don't want to change. And you got to focus on the external customers. And then sometimes you can't do it as fast as the private sector. The transition I talked about in the Secretary of State's office happened over a number of years, all right? You wouldn't take years to do this in the private sector, because you would just make the decision and go, because your competitors would be going. But, you know, we're going as fast as we can, trying to really just change a system that is entrenched and there's really, in most cases, no justification for doing the same things that we've always done.
Especially if there's a better, simpler way for all of us.
I want to point that out, because a lot of reasons, the reasons that governments don't do this a lot of times is because of either collective bargaining agreements or other things that they just don't want to have to confront. And just confront them, treat people fairly, and you can get through it all.
That's a great piece of advice. In preparing for this, I did a little research. Connected Nation Ohio State Program Director Tina Lydon told me that you and Governor DeWine have long been passionate about technology initiatives. That's something you share. Among them, cybersecurity and establishing broadband across the state. Can you talk a little bit about those topics and why those were so critical to you in your mind?
Well, yeah, you have to care about cybersecurity and that whole landscape. I mean, the SolarWinds incident that we all suffered through in this country is certainly an example of that. But we have a lot of people's, you know, information and data, and you have to protect it. And so we created the Innovate Ohio platform where, you know, instead of having everybody with their own data in isolation out on their own servers, we now have it in a state cloud where we can protect it better, where we can share it better. And so that whole consolidation and cyber protection element is important. And by the way, training students all the way from high school in career centers, and in colleges to be cybersecurity specialists, also an important element. One of the things government doesn't have is high paid tech talent. Why? We can't compete with the private sector on pay. So we have to really be, you know, smart about how we attack that. And then you mentioned broadband. If there is a bigger issue of technology equity than that right now, I can't think of what it is, because we have in Ohio and across a lot of states, we have 1 million people that don't have access to the federal definition of high-speed internet. We have, you know, many schools who are out with COVID whose students, when they were at home, you know, didn't have access to high-speed internet. You can't participate in the modern economy, the modern education or healthcare system without it. And so we, we have a strategic plan. We are putting $290 million into working with the private, public, and not-for-profit sector on expanding broadband across the state. We're going to leverage state assets in ways that have never been leveraged before, and we're going to attack this issue, because you can't. There's so many people. They couldn't telework. They couldn't get educated, do distance learning. They couldn't do telehealth. And they're at a complete. They're not involved in the modern economy without it, and we have to help them get there.
And did it help in your response to the pandemic, the fact that you and the governor had been planning in technology on March 5th, very critical timing? You announced the creation of Broadband Ohio, which was an effort to expand high-speed internet. You and your other leadership members were already thinking about, we need to improve this access. Did that put you in a position where you were able to respond and continue to respond? Because since that time, you've done things like a launch pilot programs in Appalachia, in Scioto, and counties focused on monthly grants. So even as everybody's struggling, you're responding to this need. Am I reading that wrong? Am I reading it correctly?
You know, you're exactly right. Thank goodness we had been proactive. We had a strategic plan. We had maps. We knew where they weren't covered. We had an office of broadband that we created with somebody who was working, you know, who was knowledgeable and working on this issue full time. Literally, the first case of COVID was reported in Ohio, we were launching a telehealth pilot in a rural southeastern Ohio school district. It's called the Switzerland of Ohio School District. And the way they describe themselves is that they are nearly half the size. The school district is nearly half the size of the state of Rhode Island. It's basically in a national forest. And sometimes you can drive for an hour to an hour and 15 minutes between schools in the same school district, because it's so rural. And 75% of the people the people that live in the school district don't have access to the internet. And we launched this telehealth pilot. It's now the basis for expanding internet all across that school district in those communities, with some of the microwave towers and things like that we're helping them with. And if we hadn't been proactive in advance, we would have not had the tools to be able to assist with these kinds of things during the pandemic. But we're a long way from being where we need to be, but at least we got a good start.
And schools really can serve as anchor institutions, correct? Where they can, from there, you can expand into the community, can help you help families. There is a lot of there are a lot of ripples that come when you help, when you connect to a community institution, such as a hospital or a school or that type of thing.
Yeah, and so the schools are very well connected, but the world is not very well connected to those schools and the community isn't. So that's the bridge we're trying to build between healthcare providers in the schools, between the places where students live in the schools. Those are the bridges that we're trying to build. And schools are a great, you know, they're great. And by the way, because the students and many times are the most knowledgeable tech
yes,
minds
<true.
laughs> in the community. So you got to start with the students. They're the ones that know tech the best.
Let's talk a little bit about legislation that's supporting this kind of work. I know Senate Bill 8 was recently introduced and House Bill 13 was passed last year. Each one seeks to establish a residential broadband expansion program for this state. What are your some thoughts about this approach? Is it in the step in the right direction? What would you hope it could achieve?
Yeah, we were disappointed the legislation didn't pass last year, but it's on a fast track this year. It was literally something we got. By the time we got to the final version, we had support from the private sector, from the public sector, the not-for-profit sector, everybody, including rural electric co-ops who are going to use some of their infrastructure for this. So it really will modernize the laws regarding how we can use infrastructure to get high-speed internet connections out to the to residential communities. So it's important, and we're It can't get passed too soon for me.
I think there's probably a lot of people across Ohio who would agree with you. It can't get passed too soon for them. As things do move forward, and whether it's legislation or with Innovate Ohio or Broadband Ohio, what would you like to see as Lieutenant Governor happen for the state? What are some trends that you want to see go forward for Ohioans?
Well, you have to think about how I call it a tech-infused world, a tech-infused economy. Everything is tech. You know, it's not like there's a tech sector because everything is the tech sector. Manufacturing is tech. Healthcare is tech. It's all tech. And so we have to become a more tech-literate, savvy, wired state and nation for that matter. We have some cities that are 5G, and yet you have a million people that don't have access to high-speed internet. That creates an economic, educational, healthcare divide. We want to bridge those things. We want more people who have the right kind of job skills in this space. We want, you know, more communities that are capable of hosting, you know, companies that, because think about it, if you don't have robust enough service, you can't even run a server. I mean, you can't do the kinds of things that businesses actually need. So you're out of the game. And so the goal is really to just, you know, this is going to happen all organically, but the states that do it better than others, the communities that do it better, the people that do it better are more prepared to thrive. And I think it's an important goal for our nation. It needs to be driven at the national level, but states and local communities need to do it too. Education needs to do it. Government regulation needs to do it. Capital investment in these areas need to happen. So as a nation, we got to do these things. And as a government leader, you know, we're trying to do our part. Governor DeWine and I are trying to do our part in Ohio.
All right. Well, I'm going to leave it there. That's a great way to finish it. I appreciate you, Lieutenant Governor, sharing your thoughts today with us about technology and all that you're doing it for Ohioans. We'd love to have you back as new things come up. So we really appreciate you joining us today.
Great. Thank you very much.
Again, my guest today was Ohio Lieutenant Governor John Husted, who is also the founder and director of Innovate Ohio. I will provide links to the Innovate Ohio website, Lieutenant Governor's Twitter feed, and more in the description of this podcast. I'm Jessica Denson. Thanks for listening to Connected Nation. If you like our show and want to know more about us, head to connectednation.org or look for the latest episodes of Connected Nation on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, Pandora, or Spotify.